Have you heard of NAD+? If not, you're missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. NAD+ is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. As we age, NAD+ levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD+ therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improve focus, and enhance recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free. And the best part? It's 100% online. With fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors, you can start feeling the benefits in no time. You know, it's all about the wellness and longevity, people. You can start your journey, too, along with Tab and me from the comfort of your own home with Effecty. I really appreciate how user-friendly and informative and transparent the Effecty site is. You know upfront exactly what you are paying for, and everything they offer is backed by rigorous research and testing, ensuring safety and efficiency. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, our listeners get $50 off NAD Plus Longevity Treatments at Effecty.com with code CLINK at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code CLINK for $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today. Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostics comes in with their True Age Test. You can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age Test, and I'm super excited to see what it reveals about my health. For me, it's all about what we can do to start reverse aging, for my health, for my well-being, and this is my starting point. The test is like a health roadmap that shows exactly where your body stands and what you can do to improve. That's what this test gives you. And one of the other cool things is True Diagnostic is part of the Rejuvenation Olympics, where people compete to lower their biological age. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at TrueDiagnostic.com by using code CLINK at checkout. That's True Diagnostic. TrueDiagnostic.com at checkout. Just use the code CLINK and save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 20% discount. Discover your true age today.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment. Always something.
We both get back from vacation last night.
This is true. We thought we were rock stars when we left because we got all our stuff done ahead of time.
Like way ahead of time. And then we realized that two of our episodes were released last week instead of just one. And today there was nothing.
And we don't like to leave you hanging like that.
No. So we decided we are going to give you a Patreon episode.
Yeah.
And a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. So you'll get a little taste of what Patreon, how we roll over there. This is an episode that I am fond of. It's about Phil Hartman. I think it's one of the cases that made me get into true crime, really, because yeah. It just always haunted me.
I know. You always were very, you liked him a lot. You like comedy. I can feel like you probably in your older days would have thought he was real hot.
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember that when we recorded it and I was freezing my butt off, which is opposite of what I'm doing now. So
that's right. We recorded this during the Great Texas Freeze.
Kind of ironic, actually.
That it's the Great Texas Heat.
Oh, my gosh. Is it warm over there?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I just sent Tab a meme that said, like, you better get your shit together because you can't handle hell.
Yeah. Because nobody likes it this hot for this long.
Nobody. Yeah.
No, yeah. I have come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fun. We just got back from Austin. We had a family reunion out there and it was so, I will tell you, one of my favorite trips for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you were up in Northern California, Tahoe, which is also everybody's favorite trip.
One of my favorite trips. Yeah. Can't wait to go back. Love it. Beautiful. There's no place like Tahoe.
That's what everybody says. You know, I've only been there during the winter to ski, but never experienced it in the summer. So maybe next year I'll come with you.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the episode since we need to get this live ASAP. And I hope you guys enjoy. And if you guys want to check out more of Patreon, we do have a bonus crime coming up also this week, right, Gretchy? Or is it next week? It's either this week or next week. Okay. Next week. So that's patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. And here is our episode of Phil Hartman.
Today, I'm going to tell you about the late, great Phil Hartman. If you're not familiar, he was a comedic actor who was killed by his wife in 1998. And I don't think I am alone in just never being able to reconcile what the fuck happened that brought her to that point. Like, you know, it was a murder-suicide.
Right.
But I think after this deep dive, while there will always be unanswered questions, most of the pieces of the puzzle kind of come together. Okay, so Phil, born 1948 in Canada, but his family moved to the United States when he was around 10. Phil actually graduated college from both of our alma maters, Tab.
CSUN?
The CSUN. Yeah, California State University of Northridge.
All right.
Got himself a degree in graphic design.
Oh, who knew?
Who knew? Okay, a degree which he put to good use. Phil actually designed some album covers for huge bands like America and Poco.
Whoa. Well, yeah. I mean, those are kind of before our time, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it would. Yeah, but they were the cool bands at the time when he was designing.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Right? From what I gather about Phil's life in his 20s, they were pretty charmed years, which is not surprising because he's charming, right? Mm-hmm. And really intelligent, and that's how he scored the graphic design jobs. He partied with cool people. Apparently, he used to hang out with Larry Hagman, you know, the guy from Genie and Dallas.
Yeah.
Your
he
show.
He was the cool guy.
Yeah, they used to hang out in the Boo, smoking the reefer and hot tubbing after catching waves.
Oh.
Right?
Sounds like Jeremiah's kind of thing, except for the reefer.
Yeah, my husband does not smoke pot. He's so boring.
I don't think he ever has. He's so boring.
He has a couple times and he's lame. Okay. But now he's a boat captain and he gets drug tested regularly. So, so. There's only one stoner in this house. Okay.
And she does it like once every five years.
Yeah. Yeah. So I found some the other day.
You found some?
Yeah, I found
like what?
Some.
Did somebody leave it over
like
your house?
In a baggie. No.
No way. Like old school style?
Yeah. Somebody gave me some and I was like, oh, I'm going to keep that and put it in my underwear drawer in case I ever have guests.
That you wanted to like give it to?
I like to be hospitable.
Hospital. Put them in the hospital.
And then I was like, it's all dried out and pretty.
What are you
going to
just like? You're gonna pull it out.
Maybe I'll make some brownies or something, see if it works. Who knows?
Oh my God, you're not gonna do that, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, no, because I'd go off my diet. Okay. So, anywho, Phil's friends describe him as being the guy who liked to party but knew when to cut himself off, which I really appreciate people who can indulge without getting lame. Like, it's a talent, right?
I've got it.
It took me years to perfect it, and I still blow it once in a while. Yeah. Every couple of years, you blow it too, right?
Yeah.
Every couple of years, you got to like just get too drunk.
Yeah, there for sure. But I'm pretty good now.
I'm pretty good now.
College
too,
years
I think.
Were probably not as good, but yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So Phil bought himself a little house in the Los Angeles suburb of Sherman Oaks, like in his 20s. So smart, responsible.
That's
right?
Real responsible. Yeah.
He married a woman named Gretchen.
No shit.
He did. Her name was Gretchen Lewis, and they were married from 1970 to 1972. I never found anything where she publicly talked about her marriage to Phil, but I did see an interview with Phil himself where he said that his first marriage was just never destined to work. They were just too young, which is common, right? Lots of people don't get it right the first time. So Phil, this single guy in the City of Angels, kind of killing it at life, but he's looking to expand his creative horizons and meet some new lady friends. So he joined the Groundlings. The Groundlings is a big deal. Everybody knows what it is in LA. It's a legendary improv group where they have shows every week you can go see that are super funny that has launched the careers of greats like Will Ferrell, Conan, Cheryl Hines, Lisa Kudrow. List goes on and on.
You have to be invited to the Groundlings. You can't just like show up and be like, hey, I want in the club.
You start taking low level classes and then you get voted up is how it works. Anyone could take a class at the Groundlings, but not everybody can perform.
If I ever move back to LA, I'm going to do that.
I think we should do it together. I think that would be real fun. I always wanted to do that.
I love improv. So
yeah, I think it's funny.
Yeah, me too. So I would love to do that. That's going to be like when our kids are in college and we can like do something. We might be too old to like get up in the business. But
yeah, and then when we'll embarrass them, we'll like post it on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, his time at the Groundlings was the beginning of him doing a bunch of voiceover work. He also met Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, there, and they eventually developed Pee-wee's Playhouse, where Phil played Captain Carl. Pee-wee's Playhouse, such a good show. You know, I let my kids watch it.
Yeah, me
Still,
too.
It's on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, so listen, you know, Large Marge?
Uh-huh. That's from the movie.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, Large Marge scared the bejesus out of one of Kyla's friends, so much so that she had to go home in the middle of the night and I had to call her dad to come pick her up.
Oh, my God.
And you probably know who I'm talking about.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah. I would not want to call that dad in the middle of the night. I'd be real afraid of him.
Oh, my God. It was really not.
And he's probably like, you let her watch what?
She's the one that said that she's watched it before. So I thought it was fine. But, you know, I think little kids tell you like, yeah, I can watch that. And then, like, really, their parents are like, no, you can't watch that.
No, you can't. Yeah. Phil has this illustrious career and I'm going to pretty much gloss over it. Because if I don't, we'll never get to him meeting his third wife, Bryn, and that fateful night. But first, I'm going to tell you about his second wife and marriage before I get there, because her name is Lisa Strain, and she is still with us, and she has a lot of insight into Phil as a husband, which is interesting, okay?
Yeah.
He had an amazing career. He's a legend. I'm going to pretty much skip over it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Phil, in 1982, when he was 32, married Lisa. They had a really low-key wedding, which Lisa says is partly because Phil's a real cheapskate. In fact, she said when they were married, they never shared money and they never even shared shampoo.
What?
Yeah.
Like, he made her buy her own shampoo?
Yeah.
How long were they married for?
Oh, my God. I mean, not very long. Less than 3 years.
Yeah, because I think I would be like, dude, I can't handle that cheapskate.
Yeah. I mean, I've had some encounters with cheapskate. I had a roommate who I'm still very good friends with. God bless him. But I don't know how his wife does it. He wouldn't let us run the dishwasher on the hot cycle, like to dry it.
Oh, my God.
Because he was like, that's too much energy. I think the hot cycle is when the dishwasher does its job.
Like, yeah, that's what
I think, sanitize
too.
It. Yeah, you need that.
Oh, God. Yeah. My husband, I could say, is kind of he's like a cheapskate in some ways, right?
But he makes up for it in other areas.
He does. But listen, like, okay, you know, before you get married, some of these guys act like they're not going to be cheapskates. Like, he would valet the car every restaurant we went to when he was taking me out on dates, right?
Yeah.
Now he's like, you valeted the car? That's $10. You know?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He must hate me so much, because when they were in LA and I would meet them for dinner, I'd always be like, hey, go ask your husband for money. I don't have any cash to buy.
I know. Like, date. You can't date somebody and act like you're one thing and then marry them and then completely say that Starbucks is too expensive and not valet your car anymore.
Well, thank God you didn't marry that guy who wouldn't let you order iced tea.
I know. I mean, Sean, I dated a guy that every time I ordered iced tea, he was like, "That's, by the way, that was like in 2000. That iced tea like probably only cost $1. Yeah. Now it's like $2.50 or $3. And my husband did say the other day on the bill, he was like, "That iced tea was $3.50. I was like, "Okay." And then I called him the name of my old boyfriend.
Yeah.
He loved that. Okay. Phil's a cheapskate.
Phil's a cheapskate, married to Lisa. While they were married, Lisa worked as a server, and she was supportive of Phil pursuing acting. She says it wasn't a two-way street, though. When she expressed her own interest in an acting career, he was not cool with it. She said that although he was getting regular acting jobs, he would periodically quit and go back to graphic design for a while because he liked the financial stability, which is sort of admirable, right? If you're trying to impress like Susie Orman, but it's also kind of boring. I mean, you know?
What, graphic design?
No, I mean, just quitting, like you're getting acting work. And but you're not, like, but he's like, but I need the financial stability.
Yeah.
So then you go back.
Acting work is so unstable. I mean, even for actors that are pretty good and well known, their lives are like always hanging, right? It's like, oh, hopefully that show gets picked up for another season. And if not, what the fuck am I going to do? You know what I mean?
Well, I got the vibe that Lisa wanted to be married to the comedian, actor, improv, you know, exciting guy, mm-hmm. not the boring graphic designer. And graphic design wasn't the only thing she found boring about Phil. She says his libido was also boring.
Oh.
She was young, newlywed, and craved attention from her husband, but he refused to argue with her. She said he would just check out. You know, mm-hmm. later. Yeah, I hate that, right? Mm-hmm. On their anniversary, they got a hotel in Santa Barbara, and she put on lingerie and jumped on top of him, and he said, "Could you just stop?" And she says she remembers thinking to herself, like, yeah, I can. I can just stop forever. And she also says that he started calling her just this insatiable black hole because
Yikesies.
She, you know, needed attention, you know, God forbid, right? Which she describes as emotionally abusive. And I get that. Feeling alienated sucks, especially for us ladies. That's what brings out our insecurities and usually provokes us to act real, you know, peanuts, butter, and jelly. So the marriage didn't last, but they did stay friends.
Okay. I could see that for sure.
Yeah. Good. I think, you know, good on ya.
Yeah.
No sharing shampoo. Doesn't give a shit about you jumping on him in lingerie. Get out before you have kids. Okay.
Right. 100%.
So not too long after that marriage ended, he met Bryn Omdahl at a party in 1984. There is no denying Bryn is an absolute beauty. She made her way out to La La Land from Arizona to pursue a modeling career. The name she was born with was Vicky Jo. Mm. I think Bryn was a good choice in name change. Bryn is like a hot girl name.
It is a hot girl name. And Vicky Jo doesn't sound like an Arizona name. It sounds like somewhere else in the country.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty early on in their relationship, the people close to Phil say they didn't think that highly of the two of them being together. They said they knew why Phil was with her. They got like trophy vibes. But the women that Phil had been with before had all been funny. And
Bryn wasn't?
No, she just wasn't.
She was just hot.
Yeah, she was just hot. Additionally, they were that couple that got into fights that made everyone feel uncomfortable. Bryn was known to fly off the handle.
Oh, in front of people.
In front of people. Yeah. I mean, fight behind closed doors all day, but you can't do it in front of your friends. right? It's a real buzzkill.
It really is. I mean, sometimes that I don't fly off the handle. Nobody flies off the handle, but people can sense that Sean and I are like, maybe not on the best terms sometimes. And I always am like, we are just a buzz fucking kill right now.
Oh, yeah. I've done it too. And I felt real bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, probably a factor that contributed to Bryn being so irritable was that she had a little coke habit. Actually, it was more than a habit. It was a problem. She went to meetings to help her stay clean, you know, periodically. And it was a lifelong battle for Bryn. I'm not sure if she ever really wanted to get clean, even though she was going to meetings. I kind of feel like maybe it was just a Band-Aid because she went to them, but she sought out meetings in like Beverly Hills neighborhoods where she hoped to spot celebrities.
Mm.
So that doesn't say like I've hit rock bottom. to me, you know, that says like, OK, Phil, I stopped using. I went to a meeting. What more do you want from me? You know?
Yeah.
OK. So Phil and Bryn are this tumultuous couple, and there's many accounts of Bryn acting out volatilely, but also don't think it's fair to just blame her for this. I mean, it takes two to tango. And like I told you, he was described by his previous wife as being kind of a dick. And it seems like the two of them were just like, you know, matches and gasoline together. Right?
Yeah. You know what's funny is that you say that before he wouldn't argue. Like he just like backed down and like, but there are times where I've been in like relationships, short ones, but that you just don't click, right? And so you fight, which I'm like, I've never fought like this before. This is really not even me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I hate the shutdown. I mean, I want to talk about it. I want to stay up all night and talk about it. And then I want to go to bed. I don't want to like, I mean, if somebody wouldn't argue with me, I wouldn't like that.
I know, but it sounds like now he's arguing. You know, he wouldn't argue with Lisa, but now with Bryn, he's arguing.
Well, I think that he would ignore her, and so she would act out.
To the point where he couldn't stop.
So he would check out, and that would just make her more mad, so she would act volatilely.
Okay.
Like, the more he ignored her, the more it amped her up.
I get that.
Yeah. I get it. So I think that maybe they confuse that toxic dynamic for passion or something. Or maybe it was the fact that Bryn got knocked up. But for whatever reason, Bryn and Phil got married in November 1987. Phil had just started his SNL career, and they were living in New York City, where Bryn had gotten a receptionist job and took acting classes when they tied the knot. She hung around SNL a lot. She would do stuff like sit on the writers' laps and just be extra. But people say it just never seemed to bother Phil. Just to speak a little bit about this behavior, there is an interview on YouTube where Phil and Howard Stern, and at the end, Bryn joins in. It is so cringy. I am going to play you some of the audio.
Okay.
Because I know you're a good man, I really wish I could show you my wife's body because
Would you ever let me? Wouldn't that be great?
Well, we're fans here of Howard.
Yes.
We don't normally do this sort of thing.
Would that be acceptable?
We could work out some kind of trade.
Maybe. You would never show me your body, would you? It's only Phil.
Well, in a bikini.
In a bikini, I could.
I didn't bring one. So.
If I invited you to my house, you would sit by the pool and swim?
Sure.
Well, that would certainly be an honor. But you are beautiful. You cannot weigh more than 110 pounds, am I correct?
No, I'm 120.
You're 120, but you are what? 6 feet, seven tall? I mean, how tall are you? You are what? You are very tall.
Five nine.
You are 5'9". That is my favorite height. This is the height all women should be. And you, so you would be.
Howard loves my wife.
I do.
Howard loves my.
Let me ask you a question, Phil, and let me ask you, Bryn. May I? I have not kissed you. Hello. Would that be inappropriate to
no.
kiss hello?
I wish, honey.
Could I kiss your wife hello? Bryn, would it be? Do you find me repulsive?
No.
She loves you.
She does, really?
I love you.
She gets up every morning with the baby.
I think I'm as attractive, certainly, as Phil.
I force my 5-year-old to listen to your show every
day. That is very, very good parenting.
Yeah.
All right, now, so I can kiss you. Can I kiss you hello?
Mm-hmm.
On the lips?
Of course.
That would be all right?
Yes.
You would not be upset by that?
No, I'll be watching the watch.
No, but I mean, just would that be okay, Bryn?
Well, what do you mean?
First of all, you know I'm healthy because I have only made love to the same woman for 19 years. So my lips are virginal. I have no herpes. I have no venereal diseases.
Your eyes look very clear.
My eyes are clear. It would be simply a friendly kiss, would it not?
Well, a friendly kiss is fine.
All right, let us begin the kissing process. I'm going to kiss you on the lips if it's okay with you and if it's okay with Phil.
Yes, it certainly is.
All right, here we go. We held out way too long.
See?
How did you feel about that?
I love you both. What
I think
I
she's
say?
Cheating on you the way she went for me. I really do.
Okay, guys, so you can't see it, but when they start kissing, they like completely wrap their arms around each other and they really kiss. It's weird.
Weird.
Yeah. So.
And Phil doesn't care.
And Phil's all about it.
Well, I mean, we did do that other episode where some people like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think this was kind of different. I think that Phil did not respect Bryn.
Got
he
it.
Was like, she's my trophy wife. Blah, you know, like,
yeah.
I just don't, you know, I think other situations people were like, you know, they're just voyeuristic. They like to watch. I don't think this was that.
It seems to me that maybe Phil didn't respect women or women that he was with.
Maybe women that he was with. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
the pattern is there.
The pattern is there. Yeah. Okay. So Bryn has been described as being cold to females that were associates of Phil's, whether they were colleagues or friends. But Julia Sweeney, who is really well known for her SNL character Pat, was actually friends with Bryn. Do you remember who Julia Sweeney is?
I do. Yeah.
She's so
Pat
funny. Okay.
Was
like
was
indifferent.
Pat. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you could even do that skit now.
Pat was not a boy or a girl. Pat was just Pat.
Yeah. Okay, so Julia got to know a side of her that I don't think a lot of people did, and not just because Bryn could be difficult, but because I think people be judgy about hot chicks, you know? Like, they don't necessarily, especially if Phil put off this kind of, like, I don't respect my wife vibe, it's like other people are not going to treat her that way either, okay?
Right.
She's 5'9", you know, she's like this Amazon beauty. And these are comedians, right?
Right.
But Sweeney says she was endearing and fun. And I think it's worth mentioning because, you know, most people are real quick to just annihilate her. And like, there had to be something good about her, right? I mean, I get it why they do that. She did something unthinkable. She killed their friend. You know?
Yeah.
Bryn gives birth to a baby boy. And Phil's ex-wife, Lisa, sent them well wishes in the form of a card and a gift. Well, Bryn no like that. Okay? She hand-wrote a scathing 4-page response to Lisa that said things like, if you ever come near our family, I will claw your eyes out.
Whoa.
Yeah, right?
I mean, that's extra.
Handwriting does make you seem extra nuts, right? Something about just being able to like pen to paper and unleash is so like serial killer. Okay. Lisa gets this letter and then she calls up Phil and is like, what the fuck? And he said, oh, you should have seen what she wanted to send you. And Lisa was like, you knew she sent this to me? That's kind of balls. And why does she hate me so much? And he said, oh, it's probably because one night she asked if her and I were soulmates. And I told her, nope, don't think we are. I think I am probably soulmates with my ex-wife, Lisa. Oh. And Lisa was like, Phil, that's insane. And he's like, yeah, I don't even know why I said it. It really set her off. Sorry about that.
I mean, come on. You think?
Lisa and Phil ended up not talking for a couple of years after that conversation. I mean, can you blame her?
No.
Yeah, right? Okay, so Phil's career was really taking off. He started playing President Clinton on SNL, which is, you know, so coveted by the SNL cast, whoever gets to play the president at the time. He also started doing the voices for a couple of regular characters on The Simpsons. Phil bought a home in Encino, California. It's a nice home, about 4,000 square feet, and it was $1 million. It's valued now at about 2.8.
Okay.
Phil put up a 50% deposit. So responsible, right?
Yeah, that's a good deposit.
Yeah, okay. People were kind of surprised by the house that Phil chose because although it's super nice, it's like a block off of Ventura Boulevard. And you could just walk right up to the door. And they just thought, it's kind of surprising for someone as high profile as Phil was now.
There was no gate before.
There was a gate to like get buzzed in, but it is just right there. I mean, I'm going to get to a point where I explain to you that they lived 1,000 feet from a Buca di Beppo.
Oh, I know exactly where they live.
Yeah.
My kid went to school in Encino. So I know exactly where that is. I've been to that Buca di Beppo. It is a busy area, but there's a lot of celebrities that live up there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of cool that Phil wasn't trying to live in like Beverly Hills with the yuppies. I mean, clearly he had the money to do it.
Yeah.
But he liked Encino.
And he's a cheapskate.
I like Encino. Yeah, I love Encino. Yeah. But, you know.
Let me tell you, Encino right now is not what Encino was then.
That's
Encino,
true.
That Buca di Beppo is filled with the homeless people now. But so Phil probably would have taken it his ass somewhere else than one block off of Ventura Boulevard. But, you know, I think it's an okay area where he chose. And he chose that because it was a lot. Like he could get 4,000 square feet for $1 million instead of Beverly Hills, where it would be like five.
Yeah.
Or probably at the time, three, you know. Yeah.
So Phil and Bryn had another child. They named Bergen. And she was born on a night when he was taping SNL, and they announced it on the air.
Whoa.
Which is sweet, right? You know.
But he wasn't in the hospital when she was born?
He went to the hospital when she was born and was back by the end of filming.
Wow.
Like for the wrap party. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Sounds like my husband, actually.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So also, just side note, in the beginning of SNL, when they flash to Phil, you know, they're introducing the cast and they flash to Phil like sitting at a diner and he waves.
Yeah.
There is a blonde next to him and you see the side of her head and her earring swinging. And that was actually Bryn.
That's her.
Yeah. She's in the intro. So after Bryn had babies, she did not give up her dream of getting into acting too. And for the most part, I mean, and they still struggled in their marriage. And Phil pretty much kept his personal struggles close to his vest. But one of the things that friends say that he did talk about was Bryn's constant nagging him to get her parts on shows or movies that he had connections with. So he would be like, do me a solid and give her a couple lines. And they were like, okay, Phil, is she funny? And he was like, eh. And so it got awkward.
Yeah.
So for a while, Phil was in a development deal for his own show. That was going to be the Phil Show. But the network never pulled the trigger on it. And like he was okay with it. He ended up doing, a lot of comedians had had shows at the time, like Martin Short, and they flopped. And he kind of like didn't want the pressure. And he ended up getting on the show News Radio, and it was like an ensemble cast, and that was kind of more of his jam. But anyway, so when this show got the kibosh, Brynn took it hard, right? Because she was like, fuck, he can finally get me a role because it's his show. Like, no excuse, right? She was let down. And she confided in Julia Sweeney the same story that ex-wife Lisa had told about, you know, the letdown of their sex life, too.
Yeah.
She said it was pretty meh.
Why are some tasks just so much harder than others? For me, I love cleaning out my clothes closet, but cleaning out my kitchen cabinets? Forget about it. Seriously, it's scary back there in the deep, dark corners of cabinet land. And so it's daunting for me to even start to take on that task. Creating a will or trust can also be a daunting task to take on, one where you aren't sure where to begin or who to ask for help. But it doesn't have to be with trustandwill.com. The website is super user-friendly. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. You know, it's just so important to save your loved ones time and stress by having all your documents in one place with bank-level encryption. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class. And when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms. So IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So, Brynn's bombed, right? No career, no sex. But, you know, Phil was like this really dedicated family guy. I mean, from the outside, they looked pretty good. Everyone says that they both adored their kids. And it was common knowledge that there was problems. Everyone says they knew that Phil stayed in the marriage so much, though, because he adored his kids and that he was never unfaithful to Brynn. But a close friend of Phil's describes him as just being a guy with a room that no one will ever get into. Like a room in his head that no one will ever get into. And I imagine Brynn might agree with that. They started going to marriage counseling, but mostly Phil didn't show up. And she just did the sessions by herself. And as the years went on in the Hartman house, Phil's distant nature fed into Brynn's insecurities. They had this impossible dynamic because Brynn never got over that addiction to coke. She went to rehab a couple times, like, you know, did some stays at Promises, stuff like that. But she would never give up drinking socially, and the alcohol made her want to use. And so it was a cycle. Phil's way of handling his coked out wife was to smoke pot. And, you know, those don't go together, right? Like, unless both people are doing both, you know, if you're on coke, it's no fun to hang out with a stoner and vice versa.
Because one's an upper, one's a downer.
Yeah, it don't work. I don't recommend. Okay.
Okay.
So in 1997, they had a New Year's Eve party. This was when Phil was on the sitcom News Radio with Andy Dick.
Okay.
Bryn apparently went up to him at the party and asked him if he had any coke, which of course Andy Dick had coke, right? And just like that, Bryn was off the wagon again. But unlike John Lovitz, I don't blame Andy for this relapse of Bryn's. She was an addict. If it wasn't Andy that she would have gone up to that night to find coke, she would have gotten it from somebody else. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
But in 2007, at the Laugh Factory, I mean, this is just like a little side note, John Lovitz beat Andy up over it. Like, they both admit that this happened. John was really good friends with Phil, and he says it's Andy's fault that Bryn started using coke again, and he says Andy killed Phil.
Oh, shoot.
Bananas. Like, he beat him up.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think I remember that.
Okay.
Happening. Yeah.
Bryn had jealousy issues, and they were no joke. For example, Phil had a love for Catalina Island.
Like you.
Like, and you. We've been there together.
I know.
He bought himself a boat and a plane, and he escaped his troubled marriage a lot with island getaways.
By himself, without her.
With friends, yeah.
Without her, though. I'm just saying,
without her.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Bryn did not like to go to Catalina after Phil took her out on a day when it was really rough.
Do you think he did that on purpose?
Well, friends do. Friends of his do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, I've been out to Catalina on a rough day, and it is not fun.
Well, I spent years on boats. The first time you go out, you're on rough seas and you're sick and miserable. I mean, it's pretty hard to get somebody to go out again.
It is so awful.
Yeah, it is the worst, right? So anyways, Phil's closest friend was a guy named Britt Marin. He has said that, for one, Bryn didn't like him because he got the vibe that she wasn't really cool with any of Phil's friends unless they were celebrities. And since he was the one that went with Phil to Catalina most of the time, Bryn was real suspicious of him.
Mm-hmm.
He says she hired a private investigator to follow them around.
Weird. Why?
I don't know. He thinks that she suspected that they were gay or like some other form of cheating, like they were getting women together. But I mean, you know, I mean, I told you before, the consensus about Phil is that he just was not a guy who strayed.
Yeah.
Bryn's just jelly belly. So anyways, on May 27th, 1998, Phil and Britt headed down to Newport Beach, my hood, and ate at the Cannery restaurant before they headed back to L.A. around 4:30. They stopped at West Marine and made plans to meet up the next day at Phil's summer rental house in Malibu to surf and play tennis.
Sounds like a dreamy, warm day, right?
Okay. Phil arrived home and Bryn and the nanny were there. He asked Bryn if they were going for a date night and she told him, no, we're doing that tomorrow. And he said, do you mind if I swing by my airplane hangar in Van Nuys and I'll only be gone about an hour? And Bryn agreed. And after he left, she made like a snide comment to the nanny, like, he's never gone for just an hour.
Okay.
That's probably true, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, he's going from Malibu to Van Nuys and back?
No, he was at his house in Encino and he was going to Van Nuys and back.
All right,
so that's close.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bryn left the kids with the nanny while she ran some errands. When she got home, she asked the nanny if she could stay a little later that night so she could grab drinks with a girlfriend of hers at Buca de Pepo and that Phil would take over watching the kids whenever he got home. Okay. The nanny agreed. Bryn left around 7:30 in her forest green Jeep Cherokee. I just thought that was worth mentioning because that was such a cool car at the time. You never see forest green cars anymore, right?
No, you don't. Actually.
And Jeep Cherokees really had a moment then.
They for sure did. I haven't seen a Jeep Cherokee in a long time, actually.
In a while. Yeah. Okay. So she drove, which Buca di Beppo is only 1,000 feet from their house, but whatever.
And did she go there? She actually went there.
She actually went there, hung out at the bar. Yeah. Phil came home around 8. So
his hour was a little longer than an hour.
It was a little longer. Yeah. The nanny said when she left, Phil was in the pool with the kids and they were all laughing.
Okay.
Okay. Meanwhile, at the bar, Bryn had 2 cosmopolitans and her friend had 2 glasses of wine. Again, we used to drink Cosmos.
I know. I was just singing. I was like, isn't that a lot of sugar?
Yeah. No more, right? No. I think we thought those were like our skinny margaritas.
I know. Oh, my God. I had the best skinny margarita the other day. Oh, my God. It was so good.
Ugh.
Anyways, super frozen. You know, like the best frozen consistency of ice mixed with the margarita was so good. God.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Do you ever look back on how you've spent money and thought, I wonder what would have happened if I would have invested that? I have definitely spent my fair share on impulse buys that could have added up if I had invested instead. You know, people say that's why the best investor is a dead investor. Why? Because dead investors can't make rash decisions. They can't pull their money out in a panic every time they hear about a dip in the market. Dead investors are invested for the long term, you know, because they're dead. Well, Acorns is built to help you invest for the long term, and you don't even need to be dead. You can start automatically investing with the spare change you've got right now, even if it's just spare change. Let time do its thing, because the longer you stay invested, the more of a chance your money has to grow. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/clink. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Listen, I actually went out to lunch this weekend with my husband. You guys,
holy
I got
shit.
A babysitter.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. You didn't even tell me this.
You've been in Scottsdale.
Okay.
And we ate at the Wind and Sea, which I hadn't eaten at, in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I drank cocktails and they have the good crushed ice.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Oh, my God. I could have just sat there all day. I would have been so happy never leaving. But
then you had to.
Yeah. And my first cocktail did not come with the crushed ice. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, I got to get that ice.
Yeah.
Got to get it. Yeah.
If you lived in Texas, you could just drive to Sonic and get a cup of ice.
Oh, I could, well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyhow. Okay.
When you visit.
When I visit. Okay. So the ladies did not eat. So, yeah, it's probably buzz, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So her friend says the conversation wasn't real unusual, but Bryn did say that despite her shitty sex life with Phil, they were getting along better these days. And she did lament a little about being 40 and her career not going anywhere. So, I mean, it sounds like Bryn kind of has a pattern, right?
Yeah.
The friend used the bathroom a couple times and said that while she did, Bryn used the payphone. But she didn't know who Bryn was talking to. And Bryn wanted to keep the party going that night, and the friend was over it, so she left. And Bryn left, too, telling the bartender, I'll be back, and next time I'll bring Phil.
Okay.
Okay. So Bryn went to her friend Ron Douglas's house. They had dated 15 years ago, but Phil did not mind that they periodically hung out still. Ron says that when Bryn showed up, she was in an agitated mood. He describes her as being just starved for attention, and she just kind of wanted to bitch about how Phil was always with his friend Britt and how nothing was going on with her screenplay script. Okay, so this was something that Britt had written, which is really bizarre. It was about like some drug dealer murder.
Okay.
And people say that Phil kind of like begrudgingly gave it to people to read, but insinuated like, hey, I told my
wife. You don't have to do anything. Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
She has like zero talent. Okay. It does sound like Bryn was kind of delusional, but at the same time, I do kind of feel sorry for her that it's pretty clear Phil did not believe in her at all.
Yeah. Which is kind of sad, right?
It's kind of sad, right? Okay. Anyways, she had a couple beers at Ron's, and he told her, it's late, you should head home. According to him, she didn't seem too drunk to drive. Thank God. I mean, she's too drunk to drive after two Cosmos. I mean, thank God we have Uber now, right?
I know.
12:36, she called a friend that she sometimes called when she wanted to use, but the friend didn't answer. She also called her house, and Phil did not answer. She then called 411. We don't know why. Ron waited up for her to call because she had said that she would call when she got home safely, but she never did. He figured she did, and he didn't want to, you know, wake up everyone in the house, so he never called. He just went to bed.
Okay.
Okay. She did make it home. It's possible that her and Phil argued, but we don't know. The son, Sean, recalls hearing a door slam and someone yell, sorry, sorry, sorry. Police think Phil was most likely asleep the whole time because of the way he was found, which was in bed, shot three times, wearing a purple shirt and red and white boxers. He was shot from no more than 18 inches away. He was shot with the pistol that the couple kept in a lockbox next to their bed. I mean, the thing of it is that I hope that he was asleep, but we just, you know, we'll never know. He was shot in the head and the chest, and we don't know which shot went first.
We don't know.
No, we don't know. Okay, so at 3:25 a.m., Bryn calls Ron up and tells him Phil is not home and she doesn't want to be alone. And he tells her, drink some milk and go to sleep. Well, 20 minutes later, he says she was banging on his door.
She leaves after killing.
She shoots Phil, and then she tries to tell her friend, Phil's not home. And then she shows up at his house.
But what is she trying to get him to come over there? What was she going to do with that?
Yeah, I'll get to it. So he said when she came over this time, she reeked of alcohol. It was clear she had been drinking heavily since she left.
Ah, okay.
And he was like, I mean, come on, what are you doing? And she just said, just don't yell at me like Phil does. And she was crying and hysterical, and she blurted out that she killed Phil. but he didn't believe her. She started vomiting and then passing out until she would vomit again. So Ron is now, he's like exhausted. It's 3:30 in the morning and he's just watching her so she doesn't like choke on her own vomit.
Yeah.
You know? And then at one point, Bryn starts rooting through her purse and the gun fell out. And then he was like, whoa, like, I hope there was nothing to what you were saying earlier. You know?
Yeah.
He demands that she gives it to him. He takes the gun and he takes it and he says that he thinks that he can tell that all the bullets were still in the chamber. And so he was momentarily relieved. Before 6 a.m., it hit Bryn that her kids were going to wake up soon. And so she convinced Ron to follow her home, which he agreed to. She tells him, bring the gun. So he gets the gun and realizes this time that the gun has actually been fired. He put it in a grocery bag and then in the trunk of his car. He follows Bryn to the house. He said she ran two red lights on the way there. And she had a car phone. She called her friend Judy from the car. She tells her she killed Phil. And so she headed over to the house. When Bryn and Ron got to the house, Ron took the gun out of the trunk and followed Bryn into the bedroom where Phil was. And Bryn started screaming, oh my God, I don't know why I did it.
Oh my God.
I'm like, why did you bring the gun with you back inside the house?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, okay, so Bryn also called a friend, Steve, who was just three blocks away. And so he headed over to the house too. Ron, after seeing Phil, called 911 from the house and told them there's been a shooting. The dispatcher is trying to figure out like if it was an accident or what. And he just says, I don't know why the wife did it. She's drunk. So while he's on the phone, Bryn barricades herself in the bedroom with Phil's body, and she's got the gun.
How did she get the gun?
He brought it with him
into
the bedroom.
Like set it down?
And then set it down and then went to the other room to call 911.
Oh my God.
I know. Okay. So at 6:21 a.m., Bryn calls her sister and tells her, tell my kids how much I love them. Okay, Bryn's friends that she had called arrive at the house, but they can't get into the gate. And Ron doesn't know how to open it either.
Okay. You push nine.
The little boy, Sean, wakes up and Ron asks him if he knows how to open the gate. And he did.
Okay.
So Ron opens the gate and he leaves and takes Sean with him. And by this time, the police had arrived. And so he let them in, telling them there's still a little girl in her bedroom. Officers enter the house and can hear Bryn on the phone with her sister crying. And so they announce their presence. She ended up shooting herself at 6:38 a.m. while they were still getting Bergen, the little girl, out of the house. The media got a hold of the story and they were camped out in front of the house by 9 a.m. when police gave a statement that, you know, both of the Hartmans were shot.
Oh, my God.
So awful.
That is so sad.
Yeah. They didn't remove their bodies from the home until like 2 p.m. that day.
Yeah, because it's a crime scene.
Yeah, I remember, like I'm sure many of us do, that footage in front of their house of them getting loaded up and being so shook by the devastating news. I mean, it's just awful. So the kids were told by their uncle that mommy and daddy were dead and they were sent to Bryn's sister's house in the Midwest to live.
No way. Mm-hmm. That's like a total shock for the kids, you know?
A total shock. Yeah. Both Bryn and Phil's families went into seclusion after the shooting, just issuing a single statement that said, "This just hurts too much to say anything." I read that there was some fighting among the family regarding money. Specifically, Phil didn't leave any money to his mother. Mm-hmm. And he had been supporting her.
But he probably didn't because he thought that she would go before him.
100%. Right? So, like, you can't cut her off. Like,
right.
You know, right? Yeah. Okay. So, pretty much everything else was left to his kids in a trust that they were to receive when they were 25 if they earned bachelor's degrees.
Okay.
He's so responsible.
That is responsible. So, right? Did they? Are they 25? Is that, how old are they?
Yeah, I think they're both 25 now. Yeah, they are over 25. Yeah, I think they've both fulfilled. I'll tell you, they're doing great,
okay.
But I'll tell you about it. There was a service held for Phil at the Groundlings Theater, as well as a service at, you know, like the Hollywood Forever, Forest Lawn thing. Bryn and Phil were cremated, and some of their ashes were buried in Minnesota, where they have a plot together, which is kind of weird, right?
Like they bought it before?
I don't know
how the family bought it.
Okay, so some of their ashes are buried together in this plot, and some of their ashes were spread together off of Catalina. If my husband kills me, I no longer want our ashes to be together. I don't want to be in the same cemetery. That's it.
Right.
I mean, it's till death do us part. You're dead. Let's part. Like, you killed me.
Especially if you...
I think that's, like, such bullshit. Like, for, you know, on for eternity. No, fuck that.
Well, not if somebody kills somebody else. Like...
Yeah.
No.
I thought it was weird. Okay, so some of his ashes were spread off Catalina and on the boat, which was mostly Phil's friends. There was some grumbles from people who were like me, like, why are their ashes still together? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the thing about that boat trip was that there was a specific spot on Catalina where Phil had told his BFF, that guy Britt, that he wanted his ashes put if he ever died. It was Indian Rock. And to get close to Indian Rock, you need to be like on a inflatable boat or a kayak. So they just spread his ashes like out there, but not right at the spot. So apparently Phil's friend held on to just some of his ashes. And it took him 20 years, but he did make it back to Phil's favorite spot and kayak over to Indian Rock, where he let, you know, Phil go.
Yeah.
Away from Bryn to rest, you know, with the fishes. Okay. So at least there's that. When the autopsy was released, they found Zoloft, coke, and alcohol in Bryn's system. Bryn had been struggling with getting the correct dosage of Zoloft right to help with her anxiety for a while. Her doctor had told her to reduce the dosage, and it's not clear if she had followed his directions. One of the side effects of Zoloft is violent and or suicidal thoughts. Even though I'm pretty sure that they don't recommend mixing Zoloft with coke and alcohol, the Hartman estate sued Pfizer and settled.
Wow, for
wrongful
no way.
Death. Yeah. Yeah, I think they got a lot of money too.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of high profile. Pfizer probably just wanted it to go away. But it's like, can you really sue? Here's the thing about that. First of all, I'm sure that you're not supposed to mix coke and alcohol
with Zoloft?
Yeah. So I don't understand how Pfizer can be.
Drug.
Yeah. So I'm sure I don't see how Pfizer could be responsible for that. Also, Bryn had a long history of going Looney Tunes. You know, like, it wasn't the Zoloft that like set her off. It was the years of emotional alienation and
turmoil, all that,
and stability.
Yeah. I mean, Zoloft might have put her over the edge. I don't know. Nobody can ever know, right? Who knows?
I don't know.
But yeah, for sure, they just wanted to get it over with. And Pfizer has a lot of money, even more now that they're making a fucking vaccine that everybody has to get.
That's true. Okay. So the Hartman children are all grown up now, and both are successful and seemingly well-adjusted. I mean, it was probably good that they went to the Midwest to grow up. Kind of a way where people didn't even know who they were.
100%.
You know?
Right? I mean, for sure.
Bergen posted a sweet photo of Phil on Father's Day in 2016. I went on her Instagram, and it says, "As another Father's Day comes to an end, I am lucky enough to have had a number of father figures in my life, but this dapper dude will always have my heart."
Oh, that's sweet. Has she ever posted anything about Mother's Day?
Nothing about Mother's Day, and the son doesn't post anything about either one of his parents. And that's her only post.
Wow.
About him. So,
well, she was six when it happened.
Yeah, they did a thing 20 years later where Bryn's brother did an interview on the 20-year anniversary of their death. So the family finally spoke up.
Mm-hmm.
And on that interview, he said that both of the kids were, you know, just doing really, really great. I mean, I would certainly hope so. They both had Bryn and Phil both had large families.
Yeah.
So I would hope they had a lot of people around them that loved them.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And now they have some money if they're 25 and graduated college.
This Bergen is beautiful.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, she had like two celebrity looking parents.
Well, it's not, yeah.
Hollywood type. You know, they have like, I'm telling you, every actor or actress that I've ever met has this look about them, and I've met a lot. It's just this like unique perfection. And I think this is what it is. I think to be on camera, you have to have symmetry, right?
Yeah.
So like one of your lips can't be drooping, one side of your lip can't be drooping, or one side of your nostril can't be like a little bit higher. Like everything is kind of symmetrical. Even if you're not the most beautiful, you have this symmetry that just kind of works for the camera.
Yeah, I would say that is true for everyone except for maybe Sylvester Stallone. I have seen him in person, and you know how he looks like so, like, whoa.
Yeah.
You look a little worse for wear.
Yeah.
In person, it's even gnarlier.
Well, they have good lighting.
I was like, whoa.
They do have good lighting. So even the people that look like they haven't aged in person, they do look like they've aged. But, you know,
he was the nicest guy in the world. And his wife is stunning.
By the way, I hear
super sweet.
I've heard multiple times that he is just such a nice guy.
So nice.
Who did I see? I forget. Oh, I think I did see him in Chicago. That's right. And I was passing and I was like, hey, how's it going? And he was like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is the craziest case, man. It's like, you did a really good job on that one. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks.
That's a lot of research.
Yeah, it's hard because, well, first of all, I read this book about Phil. It's called, like, You Might Remember Me, Phil Hartman. And I watched a lot of interviews and stuff. It's just that they go into so much detail about Phil's career.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. He was real talented. He had a real good career, but I want to know about his marriage. So that took a little
digging,
piecing it all together.
You know, a lot of people recommend some crimes. And the problem is we don't have enough information on the people themselves, just the crime that lasted like, I don't know, 5 seconds. And so we don't have enough information to talk about, because we could talk for like 5 minutes and tell you exactly what happened. But it's so there's this fine line of like too much, not too much, not enough.
Okay, well, listen. So I've been looking into crimes. And so for my next bonus crime next month, I'm already thinking ahead. I'm going to do all these prison guard crimes because I found a couple, but there's just not enough there. But I'm telling you guys, they are so fascinating.
Okay.
I'll just give you a little taste. I found this female prison guard cut a hole in her uniform so she could, in her hoo-ha, so she could have sex with the dude.
No freaking way.
And she's locked up right now.
Oh my God.
So then I was like, there's a lot of them. I'm gonna run down a bunch.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, so that'll be fun next month.
Wow, she really needed to get some.
She did.
Okay, well, until next month for that one. This Monday, we're doing a love triangle. Again, you know, I love those love triangles.
Love, 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 love.
Anywho, everybody that's in Texas, I hope that you are staying warm. Do not turn on your car in your garage. That is not safe. People are doing that and they are not making it through. People are going into their cars to stay warm, which I do think is like an okay thing to do, but make sure the snow is not in your tailpipe.
Oh my God. Oh, this is so heavy.
I know, but I'm telling you, you gotta like, the shit's getting real out here. My friends drove to Louisiana because that's the only place that they could find a hotel near here. And it was,
oh my God,
usually a 3-hour drive, took them 6 hours. They found a hotel. They have like 4 little kids and their house was in the 30s. I can't freaking live like that.
Yeah.
So she was like, this is like craziness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, you could come here, but I don't know how long my power is going to be on for. And I have no water. So we're almost out of food. So like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I wish I could drone you some.
It's okay. I'm out of here in a hot minute. I'm going to fly my ass to LA for a minute.
Okay. Good, good, good.
We can maybe record this weekend.
Okay.
Anyways, clink, clink, everybody.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.